If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around, hey, I'll make them all day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. And because we're in the 3 o'clock hour here on the Civic Media Radio Network, it's time to talk money, money, money. It's Maggie and the Millionaires, y'all. And my special guest this afternoon, he ain't a millionaire. He is one of the guys that helps us understand how this system actually works. It is Bill Lozanik, professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts, author, and overall real smart guy to help us understand what can be sometimes a little complicated. We're talking about stock buybacks this afternoon, folks. And what stock buybacks are, as Bill has been explaining, is basically wealth extraction. And Bill has further explained, and by wealth extraction, he means people just taking money out of the businesses. When businesses have a net profit, they can pay people more. They can lower prices to help consumers. They can pay taxes with it. They can research and innovate and develop things. They could, you know, vertically or horizontally integrate. If you went to business school, you'll know what those things are, right? But no, the buybacks are just shareholders taking money out of the company. And Bill was explaining before our break that it is, in large part, buybacks have become the largest investor in our stock market, meaning companies buying back their stock and paying rich people. That is now the single largest investor in our stock market, and it's centralized. There's a nucleus or a core of very large businesses that engage in these practices. Bill, correct me if I've gotten anything wrong so far, and you are about to dig into some of those large businesses that really sort of drive this.
Yeah. So the thing is that when you look at this, first of all, from a more macro point of view, but I always get down to the business level because there are certain, and I will in a second back to business, particular businesses. The large businesses dominate the economy. There's lots and lots. There's about 6 million businesses in the U.S. economy, but there's about 2,100 businesses that employ about 36% of the business sector labor force, pay about 40% of the payroll.
How many were that again? I just want to get that.
It's about 21 to 2200 companies that have 5,000 or more employees in the United States. So these are big companies. Those companies average over 20,000 employees. So those are the companies that can afford, that have grown big because they've been productive. They've had a stream of profits, and workers in those companies tend to get higher wages than in other companies. But those companies determine what the standard of living is, basically. They determine whether or not we have a middle class. And I would say that since the 1980s, when we've seen the erosion of the middle class, it's been because of this, what we call the financialization of the business corporation. That doesn't mean we don't have companies that become innovative. Like Apple, before it started doing all these buybacks, was what I called a retain and reinvest company.
Yes.
It retained its profits and reinvested. Actually, when Steve Jobs left in 1985 until he came back in 97, they spent money on buybacks and dividends, almost went bankrupt. He came and turned it around, and the rest is history. We have all these devices we use. And that's where they're making all that money from. But when Tim Cook took over, he succumbed to the pressure of paying out all that money in buybacks, first challenged by Carl Icahn. And actually, the biggest shareholder now in Apple is Warren Buffett, who's supposed to be this patient capitalist. But he just loves buybacks when Apple does it, because, as he said, it increases his share from 5 to 7% without laying out a dime. That's a quote from him. Yep. That's morally corrupt. And he put in about $36 billion into Apple shares, buying them on the market between 2016 and 2018. Not one penny went to Apple. He's made about $120 billion on that.
Wow.
So he just now have more money to go into more companies,
right,
to try to get them to do more buybacks and get the stock price up.
This is sort of, I think, if I can, to use a term or a phrase I've heard before, predatory capitalism, where the businesses, the investors aren't buying into these businesses other than effectively to financially engineer a way to extract profits with just by the sheer scale of their investment. I'm talking about private equity firms, hedge funds, billionaire investors like Buffett and others. they're not really doing anything. Again, they're, well,
they're not even investors in the company. They're investors in stock that is on the market.
Yes.
And so I don't call them investors. I call institutional investors institutional shareholders. I mean,
yes.
They're trading on the market, and they do virtually nothing. Shareholders do virtually nothing for value creation.
Yes.
Now they do when a company is private and it's being built up, and then it does an initial public offering. But that's called an exit strategy for venture capital, and they make their money there.
Yes.
They've already made all their money, and now they're just trying to make more. And the fact is that we also, when you look at the statistics, if you look at the 0.1% of households in terms of income distribution, the richest, their wealth has become more and more dependent on the stock market. In around 1990, it was about 15% of their assets were in the stock market. Now it's close to about 45%. So they look to the stock market and to these companies that are innovative to extract value. Now, as I said, first you have to have the innovative companies, then they get the stream of profits, then those profits could go in a lot of different directions. And in what I call the old economy, for all the criticisms you could have had of corporations coming into the 1980s, they shared the gains with their workers. The workers had basically career employment, blue collar, white collar, and that's where we got a middle class in the United States.
Yes.
That's why the middle class has been destroyed. And so that is something that just needs to be understood. And once it's understood, there's an easy solution without actually changing the whole structure of the system. Just ban stock buybacks.
I love
make them illegal. Recognize that they're manipulating the market. And by the way, that was unexpected, let's say, of Harvard Business Review to have an article of mine that won the prize for best article have the subtitle "Stock Buybacks Manipulate the Market and leave most Americans worse off." You know,
I give Harvard a bit of credit for even publishing it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, whether they would do it right at this point in time is another question. But
let me just summarize. And if Bill, can you hang around after the bottom of the half hour?
Sure thing.
That would be terrific. Or do we have another guest coming on? I think we do, but Dan will hold for us. Bill, I want to come back with you because what you just explained, I'm going to try to summarize it in sort of lay language. And again, Bill, correct me if I get it wrong. But fundamentally, up until the 80s, corporations were reinvesting their profits and workers' wages saw real wage growth over time. But since that time, since we've gotten into what we're going to call this sort of like faux investment, these buybacks, what's happened now is because wealthy people are extracting the values out of these corporations as shareholders, workers have experienced effectively a flattening of wages. It's why people feel they're not doing any better.
Yeah.
We're going to come back with my very special guest, Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. He ain't a millionaire, neither am I, but he is Bill Lozonik, a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts. Keep it locked, folks, because we're going to talk about this solution of eliminating buybacks, and also maybe why aren't we taxing these more? Keep it locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a